Tomorrow night on ESPN's Look Back at the Greatest College Football Games Ever, a top 10 showdown from 1994, Cordell Stewart in Colorado, the miracle at Michigan. That's tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. It's time to get up and go with the NFL players who were not expected to return to their team facilities until training camp. That, according to our Adam Schefter, though discussions are ongoing and no official camp dates have been announced. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, has also informed teams they must hold camp at their main practice facilities, which means no joint practices. Then there's Major League Soccer, where the MLS and the players appear close to an agreement on economic concessions for 2020, as well as revised terms to their CBA. That would pave the way for the league's return to play tournament in Orlando and end the threat of a lockout. Elsewhere, more than 120 Louisville student athletes, coaches, and staff underwent drive-up coronavirus testing upon their return to campus on Tuesday. The school is set to begin volunteer physical activity on June 8th. A Florida state court judge ruled Tuesday that Zion Williamson must answer questions under oath regarding whether he was eligible under NCAA rules while he was a player at Duke. Zion's attorneys are expected to file an appeal. And that brings us this morning to the news from the NBA, where Commissioner Adam Silver is expected to have a proposal to take to a vote of the league's Board of Governors tomorrow as the league gets closer to firming up return to play plans. And for those of you just joining us, Adrian Wojnarowski is here. Woj was with us earlier this morning. And Woj, the conversation of the new timetable and the new schedule really has set off a lot of talk here this morning. I'd love you to share that for the audience just joining us. What are we looking at in terms of possible dates?
Well, Greeny, the league informed teams of essentially the last possible day of an NBA season, a Game 7 NBA final scenario, on October 12th, and that's built around the 22-team return-to-play format that the league has zeroed in on and expects to present to the Board of Governors on Thursday. Those 22 teams, 16 of the playoff teams, 8 in each conference, and then an additional 6 teams, 5 in the West, I'm told, 1 in the East, that would come out of that next tier of teams that were outside the playoff race looking in, and they'll have a chance with regular season games, play-in games, to possibly jump up into the playoffs into an 8th seed.
And so very quickly, if we're looking at a season that could potentially go until October 12th, then spin it forward then. Normally we'd be in training camp for the following season already. So how does that then impact what follows after? We're talking about the draft and free agency. What comes next?
Yeah, the expectation, Greeny, the draft would come, you know, shortly after the NBA Finals, just like you would see in June. And then free agency, and they could fit it in by the end of October. But think about this. If you have free agency starting on October 30th or 31st, hypothetically, you know, you would have training camps getting geared up to start around Thanksgiving if you're starting next season on Christmas Day or around Christmas Day. And, you know, for teams who go to the conference finals, the NBA finals, that is a really, really quick return.
No question about it. Woj, outstanding work. Thank you. We will keep you close by. Let me get Jalen into the conversation here. Jalen, so let's, for the audience just joining us here, a season that this year would run into October 12th, and then you start with your offseason, your regular offseason duties, and then you start the next season on Christmas Day. Could this be the beginning of a new normal in your mind for the NBA? Because I know this is something you've been on board for a long time.
I believe so and I hope so. And businesses evolve, and I think the NBA has done a terrific job of keeping its finger on the pulse and continue to elevate its marketing and its brand. And if you have the players hooping in the summer, now all of a sudden students that aren't in school become basketball fans. Now as players, you enjoy having that summer with your family. So that's going to be a change. But you much rather overall get the money from your job. As it relates to the popularity of the game, we know football has been very dominant, in particular on the handful of days, 3 or 4 days a week they play. So if you could push the NBA back and start it like November 15th, December 1st is actually when I like, so that you're playing moderately, the game isn't sloppy once Christmas comes, Because you can't debut on Christmas because the games are going to be sloppy. But I like where we're going, and I'm really happy that we're actually talking about having NBA basketball. 13 teams from the West, no surprise. Only 9 teams from the East. And, of course, that 9th team is going to get back John Wall to play with Bradley Beal, who averaged 30 points this year. I can't wait to see that backcourt.
It's going to be a lot of basketball to watch. Final word, Woj.
Well, tomorrow the league expects to be able to take a vote, and ownership is ready to line up behind Adam Silver. They're waiting to get all the details of what of the regular season format, the play-in format, but ultimately you have a group of owners in the NBA ready to approve a return to play and get this season started in July in Orlando.
All right, something to look forward to there. Guys, thank you very much. Jalen, stay with me because I want your thoughts on our next story as well. And it involves the New York Knicks and the team's owner, James Dolan, who came under fire early this week after telling MSG employees in an internal memo that the company was, quote, not more qualified than anyone else to offer our opinion on social matters. Yesterday, Dolan sent another internal memo to the staff that was obtained by our Malika Andrews that read in part, yesterday I made a sincere attempt to provide my perspective on a very difficult issue, one that has no easy answers. I know how important this topic is to so many, and I do not want there to be any confusion about where I as an individual or we as a company stand. So let me be clear. We vehemently condemn and reject racism against anyone, period. Malika is with us live this morning. Malika, why did Dolan's original comments on Monday require another internal memo?
Well, Greeny, it's a couple of factors. In the 24 hours since that first email, I heard from people all over the league that were really frustrated with that sentiment, especially in light of the fact that virtually every other team had put out a statement. And players, including the Knicks' Dennis Smith Jr., have been out in the streets protesting. But it's not just on the basketball side, actually. Our colleague Pablo Torre reported on Tuesday that MSG employees got together and had a meeting just to discuss that email. So it was frustrating for them as well. And then on top of that, Greeny, on Tuesday morning, the Knicks social media account on Instagram posted a black square with the hashtag Blackout Tuesday. And Blackout Tuesday, it started in the music industry, but it morphed into this global social media movement that attempted to amplify Black Lives Matter movement and also to amplify black voices. So that would seem to be incongruent with the first email that Dolan sent. Now, I want to be clear, I haven't spoken to Jim Dolan. I have reached out to the Knicks and invited them to officially comment on the matter. But that seems to be kind of the convergence of factors that led to that second email.
Yes, there seemed to be a variety of things that didn't work together well. Malika, stay with me. I want to bring Jalen in here as well. We can all discuss this a little bit if possible. Jalen, let's just get your reaction to this. What we saw from the Knicks, the initial handling of this and then the follow-up to it yesterday.
So James Dolan in any sports circle is an easy punching bag, an easy target. And by the way, who does what the Knicks did to Charles Oakley and to Spike Lee? That's just disgusting. And I can't get over how they damaged those relationships with those two people that have done so much to build their brand. But here's what I'll say about his internal letter. Anybody that works in corporate America, you do understand the things that you say, the things that you post, you tweet, you put on IG. There's going to be a level of responsibility you have with your job. That's kind of how this works. And so for him, I'm not going to really pile on because his first letter was weak, because there were so many companies across the country, including the Knicks, who either didn't make a statement or put out a weak statement. So that could be a laundry list of companies if we really wanted to go there. But I do appreciate the fact that he came back and rectified his words and took a strong stance, whether he meant it or not.
It's all confusing to me, Malika, if I can get Malika back here, for the reason that you brought up a moment ago, which is that the things that happened did not seem to be consistent with each other, with the social media doing one thing and the Knicks owner, the owner of the franchise, saying something else, and then saying that they're not more qualified than anyone else to offer opinions, but they're certainly not less qualified than anyone, and the entire world is offering opinions right now. So, Malika, I guess I would ask you where we should expect this to go from here. Is it, to the best of your understanding, has this made the people who are upset about this feel better, or is this something that still needs to be addressed within the organization?
No, I mean, from the people I'm hearing from, it hasn't really made them feel better. It feels like to them, I've been told that there was a backlash, and that is essentially what prompted Dolan to send that second email. There is a hesitancy to believe that if that email had not been made public, that he would have then double-backed on that, especially in light of the fact that Dolan has spoken in his songs about Trayvon Martin, which could be considered to many, many people a social issue. And so if he was qualified then, and the question becomes what changes now. Now, like I said, Greeny, I would love to hear from Jim Dolan on this matter, but that hasn't been the case publicly yet.
Jalen?
All young people out there, use social media to your benefit, not your detriment. And so when you press in, that's going to be out there forever. And all of us have posted things that we regret. But for James Dolan in this situation, what I've been acknowledging and hearing, basically, the people at MSG feel like he's running their situation like he's a dictator. And when you have so many employees that have so much passion about so many things, it's really tough to take one letter and suppress everybody's feelings and opinions and basically acknowledge the fact that you don't feel like you have what it takes to speak on a specific topic. So now you're going to stop all of us from having an opinion as well. That's where it pretty much rubbed everybody the wrong way, and I understand that.
Malika, outstanding work today. Please stay close on this. If you do hear anything further, we will definitely come back, because this is something I think, to your point, I don't think we've heard the last of this from inside the Knicks yet. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break here on Get Up. More to do. We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence. He's a great college quarterback. Would he be viewed as a great NFL quarterback if he was in that league right now? We'll answer that question. And then if the NBA resumes, should the best teams be rewarded above and beyond their playoff seeding? I have a few unique ideas. We'll see if Jalen likes them as we continue. Get Up with ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. Dominic Foxworth is ready. I'm going to throw at him a series of provocative and hard-hitting questions, and whether he wants to or not, he's got to answer them. Here we go, Neek. Give me a team that missed the playoffs last year that will absolutely make it this year.
Oh, I'm so excited to say the Denver Broncos. So that's a team that I started my career with, and I love it out there. And Drew Locke is really good. He played well towards the end of last season, and they added some more weapons. Of course, Cortland Sutton is a number one overall receiver. They added Judy. They have Lindsey in the backfield. They added to him Gordon, and that defense was a top 10 defense last year. And they added Jarrell Casey to that front next to Chubb and Miller. They also replaced Chris Harris with A.J. Bouye, who isn't as good as Harris, but he is a number one level corner in the league. So I think that defense is going to get better. The offense is going to get better under a young, developing quarterback. I know it's going to be tough to win that division. I don't suspect they'll win the division, but they'll get one of those three wild card spots.
Yeah, remember, additional wild card this year coming out of that AFC West, possibly. I like the pick. Next, who will be the Bears' starting quarterback week one?
Oh, that's easy. I think it's Nick Foles. Like, it's obvious they're out on Mitchell Trubisky. Unless there's some sort of injury or something, some fluke incident, then Nick Foles is the guy. They are committed to paying him a significant amount of money, but that's not even the point. They committed to not pay Trubisky going forward. They passed on his fifth-year option. You're not trying to make it work if you passed on the fifth-year option, because that gives you some control over the player. It seems that they are out on him. He had enough chances, and they're moving on to Nick Foles, and they're going to give Nick Foles every opportunity to win and keep that job.
We may have to make another bet on this thing. I got a suit with Jalen. I'll bet you a tie or something like that.
I can't wait.
I think it's going to be Trubisky. All right, one more. And this one involves our friend, Mr. Mike Tannenbaum, who was on the program yesterday. He had some interesting comments about Trevor Lawrence and where he would draft him if we were doing a draft of all the quarterbacks in the world. This is what he said.
Greedy, he'd be number two for me. It's Patrick Mahomes, draw a line. It's Trevor Lawrence. And maybe in that conversation, you would have Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers, because of age, is probably out. Lamar Jackson's below that. This guy checks all the boxes. And, oh, by the way, he won't be 21 until October. He has all the physical attributes. You touched on his leadership already. This is a transformational talent.
That's a lot of enthusiasm for a guy at his stage. Is he right?
I love what he's doing there. He's doing the job the right way. He's giving projections. He's not taking the easy way out. However, he's wrong. I understand that he's projecting Trevor Lawrence to go and be great, but we have young guys who are already great in this league. Like, I mean, everyone knows how I feel about Lamar Jackson. He's outstanding. He's the MVP of this league, and he's also a young guy. There's my guy. Dak Prescott is better than him. He may continue to get better. Both of those players getting better every year. And he mentioned, I understand Russell Wilson may only have peak play for 5 or 6 more years, but it's still pretty good. Kyler Murray, another young guy who is on the rise. And then there's your guy right there, Deshaun Watson. He's outstanding. So I understand why Tannenbaum would like to have Trevor Lawrence, because he projects to be so good. But he doesn't have a perfect college resume. And all these guys have shown that they can do it. I would rather take those young mid-20s, and I guess with Wilson in his 30s, I'd rather take those MVPs and MVP caliber players over a guy that we're hoping turns into something, especially since they're still in their 20s. It's not like we're looking at a league full of old guys.
For me, I would actually put Watson second. If you were asking me to draft everybody, I would start with Mahomes and I would go to Deshaun Watson second. Rob Ninkovich and Jeff Darlington rejoin us. Rob, who would be your second? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm going Jackson. I'm not ready to crown a college player right now who has another season to play in college. How could you pick him over some of the talent that you have? And look, in the modern NFL right now, if you're in your 30s as a quarterback, you can still play 10 more years with how they're protecting quarterbacks. I am not ready to give Lawrence the crown of being the second best quarterback in the NFL if you could draft somebody. That's not going to happen. If you could draft anybody, I want a veteran who has been there, who's proven. You're going to pick him over the league's MVP? That makes no sense to me. I don't get it. He's got another year of college. He's got to prove to me again that he's the best. He wasn't even the best college player, best college quarterback last year.
Jeff, why are you almost laughing?
I'm just wondering where these quotes were from Tannenbaum when I was trying to cover him as the vice president of the Dolphins. I mean, like, where did this sudden honesty come from? There's no way Trevor Lawrence is the second guy you draft. Like, Joe Burrow, a year ago at this time, we didn't even barely know who he was. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't even gotten close to the league yet. That's just, it's crazy. He's going to have to play this year without his receivers that he's been used to. Like, it's not even close. It's not even close to being the second quarterback you draft.
I agree with you. We just talked about Justin Fields. I think there's a scenario in which Trevor Lawrence isn't even the first quarterback taken in this coming year's draft. Obviously, that remains to be seen. But let's just have a little fun. From each of you quickly, Dominique, if you allowed the 32 teams in the league to draft anyone they wanted, we all know Mahomes would be 32 out of 32. Who do you think would get the next most picks, Neek?
I think Russell Wilson gets the next pick.
How about you, Jeff?
I would say Russell Wilson as well. I love Lamar, but I'd still say Russell Wilson.
And how about you, Rob Ninkovich?
I'm going Lamar.
Tell me why, because you expressed some concerns about his long-term durability because of the volume of hits that he takes. You talked about how you think that's the number one thing he needs to work on going forward. And so now here we are drafting someone to be your quarterback for the rest of your life, and you're concerned about the durability. Tell me why that isn't enough of a concern that you would still take him ahead of all the other quarterbacks in the world.
Well, you see the potential there for him to learn even more and develop. He has skills in the pocket. He can throw the ball anywhere he wants to. He can move. He can run the RPO. He can run the modern offense that you want to run now. That, like, the pocket old school style quarterback, pocket quarterback, to me, As a defender, as a defensive end, I know how hard it is to defend a quarterback that can move, that can run all the boots, run the RPO, throw the ball down the field. I want a quarterback that can do that. So that's why I'm taking him. And also, moving forward, I think that if he's smarter in taking less contact, he will be a better quarterback in 5-10 years. If he's smarter and just getting out of bounds.
Yeah, I actually agree with Rob. Like, I, the question you asked was who would be the next taken by the 32 team.
Right.
I think the next taken is Russell. But if I were building a team, I get Lamar Jackson because he offers so many advantages. Even he makes everybody on your team better. He makes your defense better because of the running game you create. He makes jobs easier for your O-line and for your receivers. And I think it also makes it, it gives you somewhat of an advantage when you are looking to sign free agents, because there are types of players that you can go after in a Lamar Jackson offense that other teams aren't looking to attract. So it kind of suppresses those values, which allows you to build a better team. And then he's the most unique player in the league. Every team is going to be confused every time they come up to play against him. No one gets used to playing that when the rest of the quarterbacks in the league look and play the way they do relative to Lamar Jackson. But I do appreciate that Mike got out on a limb there. The rest of us are kind of cowards.
Jeff, yeah, final
word. He took a risky call there.
The only thing I'll say about my guy Deshaun Watson is that everywhere he goes, he wins. He manages to win under some complicated situations all of the time. I mean, the offensive line he has played behind has been a disaster. There's been so many questions about the things that have happened in the organization, and he just keeps on winning.
Rain Dakota Prescott.
Yeah, you're
number
right.
Three.
And really.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're picking, by the way, top five, you're winning because there's so much good talent right now in the NFL at the quarterback position, and Lawrence is not one of those guys right now.
All right, we will continue as we go here on Get Up. Much more to do, including I want to mention that this is a very busy day on ESPN. First Take follows us, then at SportsCenter, NFL Live, The Jump. Then you get 20 minutes of Jalen Jacoby, highly questionable, and Around the Horn. That's followed by SportsCenter at 5. The PTI guys will be there and cap it all off with SportsCenter with SVP. A full day of sports for you here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up next, one NFL head coach spoke about racism in the NFL yesterday, and his comments have sparked a lot of reaction from around the league. You will hear what they were and why as we continue next. Get Up on ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Tomorrow morning here on ESPN, we will have more Korean baseball for you. It'll be the Lotte Giants taking on the Kia Tigers. That's tomorrow morning at 5:25 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And we will be coming on here to get up with you immediately following, as we did today and as we have all week long. Again, we follow Korean baseball here all week, and so our schedule has been a little bit skewed as a result of all of that. And so we are glad to join the audience here who comes with us at the beginning of a new hour here. This is Get Up on ESPN. Yesterday in Houston, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson attended a march that was led by members of George Floyd's family, while in Ann Arbor, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh took part in a rally to show solidarity between protesters and government officials. In Dallas, Mavericks legend Dirk Nowitzki and head coach Rick Carlisle assisted in the cleanup efforts, sweeping broken glass from businesses that had been vandalized and looted. Meanwhile, Boston Celtics head coach Brad Stevens wrote a letter of support to his team after several players participated in protests over the weekend. And from that NBA coach talking about race to one from the NFL, Denver Broncos head coach Vic Fangio spoke with reporters yesterday expressing his shock and his anger over the death of George Floyd. Fangio also spoke about racism in the NFL, and his comments have raised a lot of eyebrows.
I think our problems in the NFL along those lines are minimal. We're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. You know, we live in a great atmosphere. Like I alluded to earlier, we're lucky. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. You know, if society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great.
So he made those comments, and then the reaction started coming in. Chris Carson tweeting, "This man is a joke." We have other tweets for you as well. Quandre Diggs tweeted, "Is he blind?" And I believe we have one more for you here as well. No, that's it. Those are the comments that we have. But let me bring into the conversation now Jalen, who's been here all morning long, Dominique, who's been here all morning long, and Stephen A. Smith. Those of you tuning in to see First Take will start in about 20 minutes. And Stephen A., I will start with you. There's an NFL head coach saying, "I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL." Stephen A., what is your reaction?
Well, it's one of three things. He's either blind, he's hypocritical, or he's a flat-out liar. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's an incredibly embarrassing, insensitive, and ignorant statement, to say the least. And clearly, he has not been speaking to some of his contemporaries in the National Football League. Maybe he should call Anthony Lynn. Maybe he should call Mike Tomlin. Maybe he should call Brian Flores or the host of assistant coaches on the NFL level, starving for an opportunity at ascension and have been denied time and time and time again. Obviously, that isn't applicable to those head coaches that I mentioned, but certainly an abundance of others who have been starving for opportunities and have been ostracized, have been minimized, have been pigeonholed. We all know this. We didn't even get into the GM once Mr. Berry arrived in Cleveland. That made two African-Americans who happened to be GMs, calls and their offices are constantly flooded with calls from African Americans starving for an opportunity because they know the chances of them getting an opportunity to elevate in the National Football League is slim to none in most other places throughout the National Football League. Did I even get into ownership? No, I did not. Maybe I should. Why? Because outside of Shad Khan in Jacksonville, you can't find a face different than white folks anywhere or everywhere. And so for Vic Fangio to say what he said, I think it's an incredibly shameful comment. Again, it speaks to either his ignorance, the fact that he's preferably blind, or more importantly than that, he's flat out lying. It makes no sense what he says, particularly when it's pertaining to the National Football League, because the evidence is all over the place. Why the hell does a Rooney Rule exist? Why did they just have some modifications to the Rooney Rule just weeks ago? Did he not call, or has he never spoken to Troy Vincent, Roger Goodell? The list goes on and on. The evidence is out there. It's an incredibly ignorant statement on the part of Vic Fangio. And I'm sorry, I've never met the man. I don't know the man, but he should be ashamed of himself for saying what he said. He really should.
Jalen?
Well, he doesn't see racism in the NFL because he isn't looking. And the one thing I want to make sure I acknowledge, and people keep using this example.
Take a moment, Jalen. Your mic is not on there. We want to make sure we get to hear what you say. Just take a moment.
I got you. Let me cook, please.
Go ahead.
So a lot of people keep using this analogy about the locker room in sports and comparing that to society. Let me tell you why I don't love that example. Because when we're in the locker room, we have a vested interest in one another to get to a common goal. And if you believe, for example, a guy like Nick Bosa, if there was some controversy surrounding him being drafted, if you don't believe him being a great player versus how people felt about him isn't going to affect how he's treated in the locker room, then you've never been on a team. And so I like to look at rap music more than sports as where we all come together as a melting pot. And here's why. Because if you notice in rap music, a couple of the greatest rappers of all time, Drake is part Jewish, Eminem, he's white. They were embraced by rap music to the point where before those guys, the best rappers of all time were all black. Now, when you look at sports, for example, the greatest quarterback, Tom Brady, 6 championships. What we end up doing is ring counting successful people. That's why I like Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr, because they're honest and straight shooters. They didn't necessarily need the George Floyd thing to happen because they've been standing on the table for years. Versus what I see from a Belichick or a Dabo, where we'll give them a pass because they're so great at coaching football and they win so many championships. Because if one of them would have said what Vic Fangio said, we wouldn't be getting on them the same way. because Vic Fangio doesn't have their resume, we're going to pull him on the carpet. And Stephen A. is right. It's a power play. It's all about ownership, president, GM, coaching, coordinator, and then that level of power plays itself out. But to act like, oh, it's just a meritocracy because we keep him score of the game, that's just so not accurate.
Dominique?
Yeah, I think to say that a locker room or a team in the NFL doesn't have any race issues is foolish. And you talked about the locker room. NFL locker rooms are incredibly divided. So, like, I don't know what he's talking about. They're incredibly divided along racial lines. Like, it happens in most of the locker rooms I've been in. But I do think that this is similar to the stuff that we talked about earlier, the Coach Pierman down in Clemson. I don't want to let the rest of y'all off the hook. Like, you can't point at him and say he's stupid and think that absolves you of your responsibility or the impact that you have on perpetuating more pernicious acts against black people in this country. So back to him in particular. Yes, that's stupid. But I do think that I know why he has that thought in his mind. He started his career as a high school football coach, went to the USFL, then went to college, went to the NFL in 1986 and didn't get his first head coaching opportunity till last season, which was after Vance Joseph, who was a black coach, got the opportunity there first. So while he is absolutely wrong, I know where he's coming from. He's looking at his own pathway and he believes that he didn't get the help that I can't put that in his mouth. It feels to me that he may believe that he didn't get the treatment that he deserves and that the meritocracy has not been fair to him necessarily, but he's absolutely 100% wrong and he's blind to the privilege of his race. So we should point it out. We should call it out, but that doesn't absolve everybody else. Just because you found somebody who said the N-word a couple years ago, or you found somebody who said something stupid today, does not make you better.
Stephen A.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this. Dominique is right, but I just want to elevate the point in this regard. Yes, Vic Fangio may have been thinking about himself, his own path, and his own resume. But what are we challenging people to do throughout this nation? To look beyond themselves, Dominique. And that's what we're calling Vic Fangio accountable for. Here, if you're looking at your resume, if he sat up there and said, to me, based on what I went through, and his comments were prefaced with that statement, that would be taken somewhat differently. But he was speaking generically, looking at society as a whole, the NFL society, and speaking beyond himself. How could you speak beyond yourself and not notice what the hell has been going on? That is just utterly ridiculous, and it's incredibly ignorant as far as I'm concerned that he did that.
I'm sorry if it sounded like I was trying to defend Vic Fangio. I wasn't at all trying to absolve
his responsibility.
Right, I know. I'm just clarifying. I wasn't trying to absolve him of his responsibility at all. And he was in a locker room when I played for the Ravens. He was a coach on that staff. So I know him a little bit, but we didn't co-mingle. We weren't buddies. I wasn't hanging out with him. But I do think that sometimes we get in this situation where we find someone else. We do this racism sleight of hand or this ninja smoke bomb where we create a distraction that allows everyone else who is culpable to slip away in the darkness of night as if they don't have issues to address also. So Fangio has to educate himself and address these issues, but so do many of the people who are pointing at him saying how dumb he is.
Jalen,
separate the word racism from the NFL because the majority of the sport is black. And so as somebody that's older than me, I'm pretty sure he remembers Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the Ali Summit, have heard of terms like reparations, have heard of terms like affirmative action, the Rooney Rule. What about Colin Kaepernick? That happened in his sport.
Played against
Greedy. So
on that Ravens staff.
You can't Colin act Kaepernick like you didn't know that these things were taking place. What ends up happening, Stephen A., and you alluded to it, he has a level of privilege that allows him to be blinded by things that are happening around him. And we're here to enlighten him and other people like him. And it's okay. I don't get upset at people like this because I want to know where they're coming from. They are letting us know they need to be educated, and it's okay for us to do so.
You know, Stephen A., it's interesting because we spent 11 minutes on this topic so far, and we barely even touched on the first thing I thought of when I saw these quotes, which was Colin Kaepernick, which was an issue that was so divisive in the sport and continues to be in many ways to this day. How about that piece of it here?
But there's no question about it. I mean, again, Jalen's absolutely right. Vic Fangio was in the league, coaching in the National Football League when that transpired. And that's why, Jalen, the frustration that I'm exhibiting or displaying right now, that's where it comes from. It's not if Vic Fangio were talking about himself and his own experiences, I would not have been upset in any way because I understand that, which is what I was explaining to Dominique a few minutes ago. My issue is when you say the NFL, you speak generically and you look at the league. What have you been doing? Have you not been paying any attention? Do you not listen to any of your colleagues? Dominique knows this. Jalen, you know this. You've interviewed NFL coaches before. You know there's a whole bunch of guys that are very rarely, if ever, heard from who happen to be black that have religiously lamented the state of affairs in the National Football League. And for a coach to sit up there and say, there is nothing going on in the NFL, when even Roger Goodell, the commissioner, the league office with Troy Vincent and the rest of the crew literally have modified the Rooney Rule just a couple of weeks ago. And for this man to, because of what this man says, doesn't exist, makes no sense to me. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Dominique, I want to go back to something you said briefly there, which raised my eyebrows, certainly, and that is that your feeling is that an NFL locker room is a very divided place by race. Could you expand on that thought? Because that seems to be very much the opposite of what Vic Fangio was saying.
Well, I mean, there's not like physical race wars taking place in the locker room, but the positions are very divided by race. You tend to stick with your position group. Occasionally, there's some overlap, but all the DBs are by and large black. Corners, 100% black. There's some white safeties, but most locker rooms where the DBs are all the way black. They hang out with them. The same is true of most other positions. So like offensive line is a position where there are quite often a bunch of white guys. Those guys end up sticking together. That's who they call on the weekend. That's who they go hang out with. That's who they sit around. That's whose boombox is blasting their little corner. Like, that's something that happens. We all love each other. We all care about each other. We all fight for each other on the field. But there are racial divisions in the locker room. And maybe the divisions aren't because of race, but it's not because of it. Like, it has impact. That is the reason why we are, that's part of the reason why they are divided the way that they are. So there are divisions. And when things happen in society that are racially related, we have conversations in our locker room that I think cannot be had outside of our locker room because it does feel like a safe space. So in that way, locker rooms are somewhat different, but no, they are still pretty divided. There's a lot happening in there that maybe he's unaware of. And I'm sure the players on his team and the coaches on his staff who do have experience with this will educate him. But I do think that it's frustrating that it always falls on us to educate the people who need the education. Like, black people, it's not your responsibility. So I appreciate the black players who called him out, but it ain't your job to teach them. It's their job to learn. So he needs to go pick up a book. And I mean, I can make some references, some suggestions to him if he wants to, and get informed on the history of what's going on in his country, and go into his locker room and talk to his players. Cause I guarantee you, he's already got some text message. Not all the people who are annoyed by it went to social media. I guarantee some of the players on his team and some coaches on his staff, I hope they reached out to him and told him how foolish what he said was.
All right, let me leave it there.
And also, he lived in an older America, which means there was a time in the 50s and 60s when you were a black person, you saw a white person, you crossed the street. You were required to drink from a different water fountain. You were required to use a colored bathroom. We were treated like three-fifths of a man and second-class citizens. He lived in America when that was taking place. And what's symbolic of the video of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid taking the knee is that's the exact same visual we saw in Minnesota via the death of George Floyd. And by the way, those three officers definitely still need to be charged. And if you went home as an American person, a citizen, and you said to yourself, why is Colin Kaepernick taking a knee at work? That is unprofessional. He should not be doing that. I went on this show, and I'm glad that we get a chance to have this platform to do so. I distinctly said that's when people are watching him the most. It would not get the same coverage if he did it on a Tuesday afternoon on the day off. People wouldn't go cover it. And for those who question the peaceful protest, remember, Martin Luther King, one of the most peaceful people to ever walk the face of this earth, not only was he assassinated, in 1967, he was voted the most hated man in America. Just think about that for a second. So we've made incremental progress, and I applaud, again, Vic Fangio for saying he don't see. That's why we're here to give him binoculars, and it's okay.
Stephen, I know you have to get ready for First Take, a final word.
All four officers should be arrested. Three of them should be charged with murder. The fourth should be complicit. And when I went on First Take the other day and called for this, I still mean it to this very second. There should be reform implemented in the United States government. It should be a federal crime for any police officer who kills an unarmed black man. It should be a federal crime. It's just that simple. That's what we should be after right now, and I think that it's going to happen.
Stephen A. and First Take are 13 minutes away. We have more to do here on Get Up. I'm very proud that this is a place we can have these conversations, and they will continue. We'll take a short time out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We're back with a few moments here for the NBA. Adam Silver is likely to move forward with a 22-team restart plan despite reservations from several owners. And one of the things to consider, our Dave McMenamin wrote a piece for ESPN.com detailing ways the league could incentivize teams that earn home court advantage. Bear in mind, these are teams that spent most of this season putting together a better record. Now they won't get anything for it. So they're considering certain things like awarding the team that had the better record the ball to start the second, third, and fourth quarter, giving them an extra coaches challenge, all the way to things like picking which hotel they want to stay at Disney World. And earlier this morning, I had Jalen and Jackie Mack here, and the two of them were concerned that all these sorts of ideas might seem gimmicky for the NBA. So we thought we would have a little fun here considering some other ideas. Jalen, you're worried about gimmicky. So I put together, I got Rob Ninkovich and Dominique Foxworth, who are going to suggest some other ideas. Rob Ninkovich, throw an idea out here at Jalen. Let's see what he thinks.
Okay, let's take something out of the hockey books here, but we'll change it up a little bit. Imagine this. 2 minutes, you can add a player to the court, so it's 6 versus 5 for 2 minutes. How does that sound?
Power play, Jalen. How about a power play?
Not at all, Rob.
Power play.
Not at all, Rob. Not at all. That's like adding a second quarterback on offense.
I like Rob's idea. I think Dominique, that rather than adding somebody, you take somebody away to create some more spacing. But I like the idea that we should allow the opposing team to choose one of your players for the last 5 minutes of the game. And it doesn't have to be a player. Anybody who is employed by the organization. I want an assistant GM out there trying to play some D. Let's go. Don't be the not fun league. Don't be like the NFL. Loosen up. You guys are the fun league. Remember, have some fun.
Come on, Jalen, what do you think?
You guys are messing with the integrity of the game. Rob want to have 15 people playing football, and Dominique want to have people in the front office out there like Jerry Krause trying to figure out who's going to win the championship or not.
We should add that to football. I want some executives out there taking some hits, too.
Just one time in my life, Jalen, I want to be doing a highlight, and I want to say the words, the Lakers had a two-man advantage in the fourth quarter last night. Jalen, how do you think that affected the outcome of the game? That's what I'm looking to do, just once.
What else you got, Rob? Bring more. What
Rob,
else you said?
Quick final thought. I got 30 seconds.
I want to see MJ out there. I want to see Michael out there again. He's an executive owner. Let's see him out there.
He would be an executive. He would be an executive. You like it?
You know what would happen?
Well, Charlotte, you opened me up for a nice Charlotte joke, but I'm just not going to get a body shot and a head shot to that franchise. They're dealing with enough right now.
I tell you right now, if Michael Jordan came back and played, they might win this whole thing this year in Orlando. We'll wait and see. Guys, thank you very much. First Take is coming up in just a couple of moments. We will break briefly, and First Take will follow with thoughts on the Vic Fangio story saying he doesn't see racism in the NFL. As you heard here, Stephen A. takes strong issue. We'll discuss that and more. First Take starts in 5 minutes here on ESPN. And that is all the time we have for Get Up on this day. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol. Thank you so much for being with us. We will see you back here tomorrow, same place, same time. Have a great day.